It's Saturday night. That means it's time for the Don Tony Show.
The wait all week long is finally over. Get Don Tony's perspective on current affairs in the world of pro wrestling and much more. The Don Tony Show.
And now, your host, the man, the legend, Don Tony.
I know the show says it's Saturday night. It's actually Saturday morning. Well, it's 12 noon here on Saturday, August 19th, 2023. I hope everybody's having a wonderful weekend. This is the Don Tony Show, and I am Don Tony as always. Had a hard time getting up today, not going to lie, but you know, we have a couple of things to get into, you know, some pretty interesting stuff. We will get into what went down last night on SmackDown with Edge. Great fun match with Sheamus. Did not like the multiple commercial breaks during it, but I have the 5-minute post-match speech that Edge gave to the live crowd, and he sums up what his future is in WWE. Shout out to Nero Faye, 27 months, member of the family. Shout out to you, my friend. Tuning in all the way from Israel, hope you are safe. And I hope you enjoyed SmackDown yesterday. Interesting show, did not do anything to build payback, which we'll talk about a little bit later, but I have that 5-minute speech. I know a lot of places online have a 45-second version of it. We got the whole 5 minutes. Also, we're going to cover Cash Wheeler's arrest in Florida. We will get into the specifics. I have the court documents. I did, as I always do, I blocked out all of the very personal information. No one needs to know his social security number. No one needs to know his home address. No one needs to know his driver's license number. But we will talk about what happened with him. And I will tell you what I believe this will be chopped down to. I think that he will end up pleading. And remember last Wednesday, we talked about it, even though Tammy Sitch is not NXT or AEW, but it was breaking news on Wednesday, and she copped a plea deal. And we nailed it. We said this late last year. When she changed her legal team, the first thing that those lawyers were doing is trying to work out a plea deal. Everything that we said happened. Now the question is, how much jail time does she get? My estimation, 12, 13 years, 16 at the most. People posted 25 years. Let me make this clear. If Tammy Sitch was going to get 25 years, she would have not accepted a plea deal. She would have just rolled the dice, pled not guilty for whatever crazy reason she thought she would possibly get off. You know, maybe a mental problem because she's so hooked on, you know, the booze and the alcohol. Booze and alcohol, it's the same thing, booze and the drugs. So you work out a plea deal so you don't get 25 years. Sure, the judge can say, fuck you, and give it 25 years anyway. But, you know, people putting 25 years and just want to, you know, sensationalize it, over-dramatize it. But I'll tell you the charge that I think Cash Wheeler should plead down to and be done with this. We'll talk about that a little later. Now, I don't know if it's going to lead into Lufisto versus MJF Part 2. Because Lufisto, you remember the rant, we talked about it 2 weeks ago. She posted a novel yesterday against MJF. And it was in response to MJF addressing a lot of the IWC, how they handled the Cash Wheeler situation. Listen, you look at some of those places, 500,000, 700,000, a million views. You know, props to everyone out there who sacrificed those views to try to get the truth first. Because a lot of people out there were just doing anything possible to get people to click on their shit. Cash held it from Tony Khan, that the match at All In is in jeopardy, and this and that. And even early on, how many of you early on thought that Cash Wheeler hit his wife? Early on, when they saw aggravated assault with a weapon, they thought he got into a fight with his wife. Then somebody reported that it was a bar fight. But we have the actual court documents, and I'll share with you in a little bit as well. Shout out to Luke's Blade, who is tuning in. Thank you, Sam. Cameron Grimes and Odyssey Jones, they had a match last night, a dark match before SmackDown, and Cameron Grimes with the win. Interesting that they're finally putting Odyssey Jones out. I wonder if Odyssey Jones ends up with the Street Profits. I know what you're going to say. He was drafted to Raw, but draft subject to change. Maybe you put Odyssey Jones with the Street Profits. Nice little rub for Odyssey Jones. We'll see. Oh, we'll talk about the Street Profits. Street Profits came out yesterday. Not going to lie. Kind of stupid that they still came out with the Solo Cup. You know, after everything and being posh and suits and this, they came out like it never happened yesterday. Oh! But by the end of the match, though, I think the attitude started kicking in a little bit. I like what I saw. I like what I saw. But, and we got to talk about, oh, shit. We got to talk about it, man. We got to talk about it. The mission has ended. The mission has ended. Lacey Evans gone from WWE. I guess I'll get into that now because honestly, there's really not much to say. I'll word it this way, and I know I touched on this on Patreon a little bit. She dug her hole when she brought up autism and made some wild claims, you know, and listen, of course you have beliefs, but there are medical experts and professionals and a lot of data that goes back 50 plus years that you could do a little research and see if what you believe is actually true. You know, some people think like me that if I don't weigh myself for a year, then I didn't gain any weight. That if I don't go to the doctor, then the things that I don't feel right, I'm not going to get worse. If I don't go to the doctor and they don't tell me what it is, then it didn't happen. She did herself in with those stupid comments, and even I said that. But, you know, I want to add two things with the Lacey Evans deal. For those that don't know, her contract expired, and she chose not to renew it. There's more to the story. I was told that there actually was a pitch to bring it to NXT, and they actually were considering having like a blonde bombshell team of her and Dana Brooke because they do acknowledge on social media both of them get a really bad break. You know, deserving, maybe more for Lacey Evans. Dana Brooke probably gets a little excessive abuse. I think because she's been there 8 years, and after 8 years, you say to yourself, you know, why is she still there? I mean, it's a valid argument, but they were seriously considering about bringing NXT. Maybe she didn't want to go to NXT. Maybe she's just fed up with all the stuff that was going on. The Cobra Clutch and doing all that stuff, this is my summation of Lacey Evans's WWE career. And this is just opinion, but I think a lot of people agree with me on this. She debuted on the main roster, if I remember correctly, 2016. Now, I don't have notes in front of me. Today's going to be mostly rants, discussion, but I do my research, so I should be accurate what I'm about to say. She debuted in 2016. Now, if you think back to 2016, you know, military and law enforcement were not very popular. And I'm not, please do not misconstrue what I'm about to say. I'm not throwing any shade Obama's way. But Barack Obama was president. There was a lot of controversy with police. Remember the Beer Sudman and all that stuff? plus military. 2015, didn't the military inadvertently bomb in Afghanistan, a hospital in Afghanistan, killed a lot of children and women? That was controversy. Pulling our military out of Pakistan, Iraq, plus you think about police violence. What was his name? Michael Brown? I think that was his name, Michael Brown. He was the one in Ferguson that was shot by a police officer, and the police officer was not charged, and we had riots in the streets. Freddie Gray. Does anybody remember Freddie Gray? I remember it clearly. Baltimore, Maryland. They arrested him, and they threw him in the back of a van, and he died, you know, from injuries. Controversy. So, in my opinion, you got Lacey Evans, 2016, debuting on the main roster, and you have this negative vibe about law enforcement. I mean, law enforcement negative vibe has been around, but it was a little bit deeper, especially during the Obama administration. You look at military and all the controversy overseas. WWE, in my opinion, was afraid to debut a military hero. Maybe hero's a little exaggerated, but they did not want us to really focus on Lacey Evans's military career. So what do? They do the complete opposite, the Southern Belle. And I remember doing the Don, Tony, and Kevin Castle show, Kevin and I saying, she's got an amazing story. I mean, badass woman. Divas out the door. Women's revolution. You got a badass bitch that can wrestle, that has a strong military background. Why don't you emphasize that? No, they decide to do complete radical Southern Belle, rich white bitch. I hate to say it like that, but that's what they did, because I think that they were afraid to do anything with military, anything with law enforcement. Now we're years later. Now it's different. Now, let's show everybody what she went through. And we get loads of sympathy. We feel bad for her. Tears are real. And then they turn her heel. I mean, it's like, can you just, you do those vignettes. You're like, wow, she is a freaking strong woman. You can't help but to, you know, just appreciate, wow, thank you for your service. Thank you for being so strong. Inspiration for others. And I don't know, maybe Vince, you know, stole a little bit of Tony's stash. Dude, what if we just had to say fuck you to everybody? Dude, why do you do that? And then it went nowhere. And then they start, the mission begins, Cobra Clutch. And then I think a lot of people forgot. It was like November, December, that there was buzz that Sergeant Slaughter may actually manage Lacey Evans. Sergeant Slaughter being all offended that they were using the term Cobra Clutch now was a whole bunch of bullshit, because in November and December, I played that vignette on this show. In November and December, they were playing vignettes where she was calling it Cobra Clutch and Sergeant Slaughter. The only thing he would say is when people were like, hey, you know, you should manage Lacey Evans, and he would put hearts and huggy emojis. And I'm not shitting on Sergeant Slaughter, but, you know, no matter what they tried to do, it was damage done. They put it with Baron Corbin early on, and let's be honest, the man and the man's husband, you know, that didn't work out all that well. People didn't like that relationship on TV because of the way WWE was portraying it. We had that mixed tag that time. So, honestly, Lacey Evans, WWE, in my opinion, just totally blew it. But in the end, she blew it. They all blew it. What was that dog on Family Guy? You blew it. Lacey, Marcy, whatever your name is, you blew it. WWE Creative, you blew it. So she's gone. People have asked me, would I bring her in AEW? You best damn believe I would. I would do one of two things. Bring her in. She can wrestle. She can work. You want to have a job out to Sky Blue? Go right ahead. You want to have a job out to Diamante? Go right ahead. If you wanted to do a Jeff Jarrett 1997, get on the microphone when he left WCW and went on Raw and talked for 98 minutes talking about how WCW treated him like shit, like, Vince, you want the real Jeff Jarrett? You could do that too. Have it go out in the ring. My name is Marcy. You knew me as Lacey Evans, and she could rip WWE a new asshole. And you know what would happen? Everybody in AEW would freaking love it. Freaking love it. That's what I would do. Seriously, I'm not kidding. She can wrestle. I would bring it to AEW. And I'm not even saying that to be a jerk. I think it actually could work. For a little while. All right. So, Lacey Evans, thank you for trying. You know, you kind of like put the last spike in your coffin when you talked about the autism stuff. You know, you have a right to your opinion, but when you're a public figure and a lot of people don't like you already, you better make sure that whatever you make public, you do a little research, you know, not just some whack job one doctor, because there's always a whack job doctor that'll agree with you or something. So, okay, let's talk about Edge, and then we'll talk about Cash Wheeler. Oh, by the way, little plug. If anybody wants to go check it out, not a plug for me, but something you might be interested in doing. Cody Rhodes posted this yesterday. For those that are on Reddit, August 21st, 2:30 p.m., the Squared Circle section of Reddit, he's going to be doing an Ask Me Anything. Ask Me Anything. So you might want to go check that out. Big shout out to Casey is Raw. Thank you for the $2 super chat, my friend. I am doing good. I hope you are as well. In 2 weeks, I go on vacation. It's going to be kind of awkward not doing a show for a week, but we have a few things lined up. Next Thursday, I'm going to record a Q&A that'll drop the week after. Kevin and I will be on Patreon this Tuesday. Next Tuesday, we do payback preview and predictions that'll be available for everybody. So we got a few things coming up. But I want to talk about Edge for a few minutes. We have the full 4 to 5 minute video. The quality is not great. You know, I realize that some people still have primitive cell phones, but in the case of this, this was somebody sitting all the way in the rafters. So they did their best, you know, to zoom in on this. Shout out to Raphael who shot this footage, who sent it to me. So I'm going to share with you. Yesterday, Edge had his match in his hometown of Toronto against Sheamus. We did a watch party yesterday. You know, the turnout was pretty much what it was when we first shut it down. So I may do it one more week because if we get four in for the month, at least, you know, we got four in. That's what they normally ask. But I don't think they're continuing beyond August. Too many people, you know, just not showing up. And if you're not going to show up for the Bloodline, if you're not going to show up for Edge's last match, you're not going to show up for I don't want to name any other individuals. Might have fed some wrestlers out there. But, you know, last night there was a lot of speculation. Is this Edge's retirement match? And Michael Cole, he acknowledged the rumors on social media. You know, kill it. If the rumors are true, kill it. And Edge had, it was more of an emotional match. I mean, it was a pretty physical match. I mean, you have a match with Sheamus and it goes more than a minute or two. You're having a physical match with Sheamus. And I tell you, bravo to WWE for the last 5 minutes of that match. Because, I'm not going to deny it. I mean, I said it yesterday. I wish what they did those last 5 minutes would have happened 5 minutes sooner. And the reason why I say that is getting, you know, the emotional reaction afterwards, they went off the air very, very quickly because WWE with SmackDown normally goes off the air here in New York at 9:57 p.m. It's usually 3 minutes before the top of the hour. So we're looking at the clock and it's 9:55, 9:56, 9:57, and you still got Sheamus, you know, hitting his the Celtic Cross, hitting, you know, his finishers. And I tell you, those last 5 minutes, we actually thought at some points Sheamus may actually win this. And this might be more of a case that Edge is too old and just a little falls a little bit short. And we've had that happen in the past. We've had people have their last matches in WWE on a losing effort. Probably the most notorious one in recent memory is Kurt Angle versus Baron Corbin. WWE has had this fascination with that. Now, I'm going to share with you the video of what Edge said after SmackDown went off the air. It's a very important video because it does pretty much spell out what Edge's future in the WWE is, or his future in pro wrestling is. My takeaway from it is that this was Edge's last match on his current contract, and the chances of Edge wrestling again on television in Toronto is slim to none, because WWE does not go to Toronto all that often. And remember, Edge said that this year was his last year. Some people, including me, believe that this was not his last match. I don't believe this is his last match. Now, I know about the AEW, you know, teasers and people clickbaiting and saying, or fantasizing, saying, you know, wouldn't it be cool if he, or would you want him to finish his match in his career in AEW? I want to play you the video. I want you to hear straight from his mouth what he has to say. And then I'm going to add something to it that I truthfully believe 100% of you out there are going to agree with what I'm going to say. But this was post-match and excellent match. Edge gets the win with the spear. Beth Phoenix at ringside. You know, you could see. You could tell this was a final something because she was very, very emotional. Her kids, their kids, you know, loving every minute of it, had friends, relatives there. So anyway, after SmackDown went off the air, actually, I'll show you this first, which is cute. It's only 15 seconds long, but when Edge went through the curtain after everything was done, the first person to greet him was Sheamus. And this was the video of that. Okay. All right. So sit back, enjoy. I boosted the video and the audio as best as I could. Here is Edge after SmackDown went off the air.
I'll tell you what, I need this shillelagh to stand up right now. Goddamn. What can I say about Sheamus? Everything I said last week in Calgary is true. He is the reason that I was able to get back in here. That's no lie. That's no character. That's no writing. Steven is the reason that I was able to get back in here. So basically, I want to hear it from Sheamus. That dude has shown all of you the work ethic that he has, and that's why you still react to him all these years later. And damn, he hits like a mule. I'm okay if that's one and done. Well, seriously though, man, what can I say? As a scrawny kid who grew up just down Highway 10 in Orangeville, to be standing here tonight, 31 years into when I first walked into Sully's Gym and my trainer, Ron Hutchison, put me through my paces. Too late, Ron. Accept it. Stand up, Ron. Yeah. That man gave me my wrestling training for free because I was a kid from a single parent household and there was no way I could afford it. And that man treated me for free. Trained just over in Parkdale, just south Jameson, Sully's gym. Sweet Daddy CK and Ron Hutchison. 7 years later, he trained a pretty little lady named Beth Phoenix. And thanks to this company, I met my wife and the mother of my beautiful children. Lyric and Ruby, and they are rock stars, and I love you, kiddos. Listen, I've talked long enough. I don't know what the future holds. I really don't. I got to sit home this week, lick my wounds, talk to my family, and see what they want me to do. But what I can say, Toronto, is thank you. Thank you for all of it. Thank you for being a city that I have always been proud to represent, that I have always been proud to be announced from. And I came out here in full-on Maple Leafs gear, pandering to all of you. But no matter where I make my main residence, this is always first in my heart. I am Canadian first and foremost, and I am so damn proud of that. Toronto, what I can say is this is my last time in front of y'all. I don't think I can make it another full one to get here again for a match. I'm just being honest with you, but don't let that be a downer, because man, what an experience you all gave me. I will never forget it. I will never forget it. And when I'm 84 years old and don't remember much, you damn sure I'm going to remember this. Thank you.
Very nice. Two things that stuck out to me about Sheamus. If this is a one and done, I'm fine with it. And he doesn't know if his body could hold out for the next time that they actually compete in Toronto. Listen, never say never in the world of pro wrestling. I believe that this was his last match in Toronto. I do not think Edge is going to 100% retire. His body could still go, but he can't go like he used to. If you remember, look, the match with Grayson Waller not too long ago, Madison Square Garden, that was pretty damn good. I mean, the guy could still go. The problem is you think back to Undertaker. You think of Sting. You think of others. You know, they have a match at tail end of their careers. Now Undertaker's retired. I mean, they literally have to take weeks to get back to some type of, you know, normalcy. In the case of Edge, he had to retire for, 7 years? And had serious neck issues. That didn't just magically go away. You know, he is healthy enough that he can do what he loved to do once again. But there's always that risk of quality of life. And Edge wants to enjoy the quality of his life with his wife, with his kids, with his friends, with his other family members. So I do not believe in one bit, unless his body is really broken down to the point that he is content. He always wanted to return and perform in front of his kids. You know, children are an incentive for a lot of wrestlers to continue just that much further. You think of Goldberg. You think of even MVP. Think of MVP. You know, but I will say this. People saying, and listen, I'm not going to say the websites, If you want to go look, go right ahead. But I watched websites yesterday saying that Edge's contract expired as of 12:01 a.m. on August 19th. And that is 100% lie. That is 100% lie. That is just to get people to click on them so they could say that's not true. That's just as good. If you click, there's YouTube channels. I don't remember the names of them, but you see the YouTube channels, sad ending for Roman Reigns or, you know, Edge in the hospital, and you click on it, and it's nothing is even true, but they got 300,000 followers. Explain that to me. So this is not Edge's last match, but this is Edge's final match likely in Toronto. I think if WWE comes to Toronto again, and Edge is still on the payroll, I think Edge could come out, cut a promo, do an interview segment, make an appearance. You know, remember this. Something that nobody thought about yesterday. Wasn't too long ago that Roman Reigns, at some house shows, after the shows ended, he went on the microphone and gave props to the crowd as if he was never going to be back there ever again. Right now, Edge, in his heart, you know, if you're going to have a match in your hometown, you have that opportunity. You know, there's no better way to go out like this. Because here's the thing. Here's the thing people need to understand. I still believe that his retirement match will involve Christian. In some way, shape, or form, it'll involve Christian. And the thing is the stars would have to be almost like Superstorm Sandy. Like when Superstorm Sandy hit our neighborhood here and leveled it, when I watched shows explaining how this storm even happened, there's so many dynamics that had to come together almost perfectly for that storm to do what it did. There are too many different, you know, elements that would have to perfectly come together that he can have his retirement match. He could have it with or against Christian. He could have it in Toronto. It could be a big event. There are too many elements that are probably not going to happen. So Edge, I believe, will continue. He may have a match in Saudi Arabia, may have a match at WrestleMania. You know, we don't know as of right now. But it's not, you know, because I saw a lot of people yesterday saying, like, oh, this is his last, you know, this is his last day, WWE contract, you know, WWE is not giving him a new deal and this and that. And the first thing that my reaction to it, and this is what I was saying earlier, I think you'll 100% agree with me, is this. WWE stock right now is at $113 a share. A year ago, when Vince McMahon announced his return, it was $65 to $70 less a share. A year ago, the stock was around, what, $50 a share? Now it's $114 a share. People pointed out this week, Endeavor bought WWE for $9 billion. Right now, WWE is worth almost $10 billion. Let that sink in. That Endeavor bought the company for $9 and now it's worth $10. Not too bad to get $1 billion profit and papers haven't even been finalized as of yet. So my point is, if this was 2020, if this was COVID, and you have to release 100, 150 wrestlers because you got to cut down, you got to tighten up the ship, you can't use all these people just to perform in front of video screens, the amount of money that WWE is taking in right now, do you truthfully believe that WWE doesn't have a mill or two mill to throw Edge's way and say, Edge, you know, stay with us for the next 5 years? You know, you only have to wrestle maybe once or twice a year, almost like the Undertaker contract. Make some appearances. They got the money. Edge loves what he does. Let me make this clear. Let me make this clear. This is no way criticism of AEW. This is not a case. And it was a case for other wrestlers. Samoa Joe comes to mind almost immediately. This is not a case where Edge wants to wrestle and wrestle and wrestle, and WWE is not giving him the dates or working out a deal. This is a guy whose body is breaking down. He's getting older. He looks phenomenal, but this takes an extraordinary amount out of him. This is not a guy that wants to wrestle next week or next month. This is not a guy who just feels that, you know, he could go other places and wrestle part-time and get a lighter schedule. That's not the case. If he could still go, he'll go. And WWE will pay him to go. So do not believe. I mean, you could fantasize, but do not believe some of what's being thrown out there. These are the same people that were telling you that Jey Uso is legitimately gone. Jey Uso's getting a little bit of a vacay. You know, now, you know, remember the Bloodline storyline is going to be on hiatus for several months. Jimmy Uso is going to be back on TV next week. You think he's just going to go out there to just, you know, tease a match against someone else? No. This Bloodline story continues. It doesn't take any weeks off. It may be a little bit lighter, but the idea of the Bloodline going on hiatus is almost ridiculous. So, Sam, I'm going to get to that dark match. Thank you very much for sharing it. It's actually part of my news. I'll bring it up now. Kevin Owens, we got some good news about Kevin Owens. Kevin Owens is able to return in limited capacity. He wrestled last night with Sami Zayn, and they took on Imperium in a dark match. I didn't see the match, but that is great to see because there was a lot of concern. Listen, Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn have not defended those titles much at all. And just like the women's tag team championships, which unfortunately because of Sonya Deville's injury, those are on hiatus as well, even though they kind of like tried to turn it into a storyline with Piper Niven, a.k.a. Doudrop. Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, they got to start doing something with it. And ultimately, I think they drop one set of those titles. You got to put one set of those titles back on SmackDown. Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn are Raw wrestlers, but they're also champions on SmackDown. They have two sets of titles. You know, I think ultimately you gotta put them on the Street Profits. A year ago, a lot of debate, me included. If you remember SummerSlam a year ago, that was the moment to put those titles on the Street Profits, and they didn't do it. And a year ago, a lot of us were confused. The momentum, I think people forgot that near five-star match, people at rate matches, the Usos versus the Street Profits leading into SummerSlam. That was the peak of the Street Profits. And since SummerSlam of last year, they have not been the same at all. So I think the Street Profits, they got to get one set of those tag titles. And yesterday they took on the OC. This was a decent match. I get a kick out of the choice of attire that the WWE used to hype up the match. They came out with a little bit of a variation of what they wore before, a little different colors. But, you know, Montez Ford came out with the Solo Cup. You still had Angelo Dawkins doing his antics. Halfway through the match, though, you saw the Street Profits working a little bit more heelish. A lot of kicks, a lot of punches, a lot of pounding. And after the match was over, you know, we were joking because Montez Ford started with that snarl that he did the week before. And he started it, but then he smiled. And then Bobby Lashley came out. I don't know why Bobby Lashley wasn't in their corner in the first place, but, you know, maybe he's just an advisor. You know, people think that there's going to be a new faction, me included. But you almost feel like you know, is Bobby Lashley just more of an advisor, just comes out after the match is over, expresses his approval? Why is Bobby Lashley not wrestling? So they defeat the OC yesterday, looked very, very good doing it. You know, the OC, I mean, they're getting paid, but, you know, they're just, they don't have much momentum right now at all, at all. But, you know, Street Profits looked good yesterday. Edge versus Sheamus was a banger of a match. You go on Sheamus's Twitter, you know how he always writes banger after banger after banger? He just wrote it like 5,000 characters. I couldn't even show you the screenshot. It was that long. But nice moment yesterday with him and Sheamus, Edge. Very emotional match. But we have not seen the last of Edge in WWE. You know, will it be more of like the John Cena schedule? Maybe. Maybe. But I like the tributes. That they did an awesome video package, man. Say what you want about some of the WWE's creative still, which if you put aside the Bloodline and the Judgment Day, some of it is a lot less to be desired. Their video packages, they have amped it up the last couple of months. Even on the pre-shows of pay-per-views, they're showing these video packages like, holy shit. I know that music for Brock Lesnar and Cody Rhodes, either thought it was like, wow, this is kind of like powerful, like Johnny Cash music, or you were like, what the hell's up with this music? It sucks. So people were, that is a long time since I saw a song on a video package where this IWC is split down that middle. People either thought it was great or thought it sucked. But they are really amping it up with the video packages, and the one for Edge yesterday was phenomenal. I love that they acknowledged Christian, albeit all the vignettes were Christian with long hair, so you wouldn't even think it's the Christian Cage of today. But they even showed Edge with Vicky Guerrero, Edge with Lita. They even showed him looking at the belt when they did the live sex celebration, which was a lot of people got screenshots of that yesterday, but it was good. I really enjoyed it very much. Two other matches went down, but before that, I don't know about you guys, but I love the interaction with Paul Heyman and Caleb Braxton. They have that tension. I'll say it that way. They have that tension that has been going on for years. You almost feel like if Caleb Braxton ever goes into the WWE Hall of Fame as a commentator, announcer, interviewer, or whatever, Paul Heyman's got to be the one to induct it, right? But yesterday, Paul Heyman is going to discuss, is this the end of the Bloodline? And she wants to know about Jimmy and Jay. And Paul Heyman, I thought Caleb Braxton was going to slap him right in the face. And Paul Heyman looks at her and he's like, you want to know like private stuff about the tribal chief's cousins? You want to know personal? And then he says to Caleb Braxton, how's your mother doing? When was the last time you talked to her? Then he talks about her father. Then he says, to insinuate that Caleb Braxton's family life is all fucked up. And you look at Caleb Braxton's face. I mean, even in this screenshot, she's biting her lip and she's ready to smack him right in the mouth. But Paul Heyman gets a phone call. He doesn't reveal his source. People think Rikishi. I don't think any elders need to be involved with this in the foreseeable future. And I do not believe Rikishi will be refereeing at Payback. Nothing against Rikishi. Loved what he did in WWE. But forget the storyline for a minute. Physically, unless he's an outside enforcer, I can't see him moving around all that smooth in the ring. You know, like I said a week or two ago, you know, if he's on his knees counting and then he's got to get up because they're about to like, the guys are about to wrestle and move around, this might look more of like a tortoise upside down with his shell. You know, you ever see a tortoise upside down with his shell and he can't move and if just the feet are just, like, I can't picture Rikishi, like, moving around, and you know, not doesn't have to do Aubrey Edwards stuff, but I just can't picture him being a referee. So, but he reveals, Paul Heyman, per phone call, that next week on SmackDown, Jimmy Uso will be returning. They have updated his render. He, as you can see, he looks a little constipated, but he still got the one. He is the one, so he will be out there. Will they start making main event Jimmy? Could we start seeing main event Jimmy? I don't know. But the Paul Heyman, Caleb Braxton stuff, yes, it was great. One thing, this is 2 weeks in a row now. Even though they name-dropped her yesterday, we were very confused. I was very, very confused. I did not like this tag match at all. It was not a bad match, but there was just some really awkward things about it. First of all, the hot tag that didn't happen. There was one point during the match where Charlotte was getting a beatdown, and Charlotte is struggling to the corner, and people brought it up. It was almost like John Cena from back in the day when he's struggling, and he's and Charlotte literally, Bianca's trying to tag, and Charlotte is literally like 6 inches away from Bianca. And Charlotte, I guess she realized, oh, fuck, I'm a little too close to the corner. So you know when you just drop and you're so exhausted that you can't even make the tag and you just collapse? Like, Bianca's like this, and Charlotte is so close. Charlotte could have slapped her in the face. And Charlotte just drops. And we're looking at it, we're watching it live, we're like, hey, Bianca, just go underneath the rope and slap her back. It was just weird. It was just awful. So there was no tag, and it just didn't look good. Two other things yesterday. No Asuka? I don't understand that. Asuka loses her championship. You know, sure, it wasn't necessarily dirty, but she lost the championship, and they don't incorporate her in this? Post-match, during match, before match, no, nothing, zero. Then on top of it, this is the second week in a row that Shotzi is nowhere to be found. No appearance, no sound effects. Michael Cole, name dropped to once, said, you know, go up to Bayley right now and say the word Shotzi and see how she reacts. And I'm like, oh, that's funny, but why is Shotzi like MIA now 2 weeks in a row? Very, very bizarre. Very bizarre. And we end up getting Charlotte Flair and Bianca. They get the win. Bianca hits the KOD, and she gets the win after, in the back, damage control wrecks Bianca's knee. Now, Payback is coming up in 2 weeks. Payback's coming up in 2 weeks. As of right now, there's no matches announced. Yes, we know Seth Rollins will defend against Shinsuke. Yes, we know Becky Lynch versus Trish in a cage should be a Payback as well. But they did nothing yesterday, unless they're going to go a four-way at Payback. Does Charlotte get beat down next week? Which I don't even think would make sense, because then you got 1 week away from Payback. Would they dare do one-on-one? Could we? Or did they do that to write Bianca off of Payback? I'm totally lost with this, because suddenly Shotzi and Bayley is a non-factor. Asuka decide, you know, it's not her fault, but Asuka's nowhere to be found. And we are 2 weeks away from Payback, and we don't even know who Io Sky's opponent or opponents will be. Casey's Raw, thank you for the five spot, my friend. WWE moved Jey Uso to the alumni to act like it's real. Maybe to make it more real, don't replay the quitting over and over again. I agree, but they move him to the alumni section, you know, to make it seem real. But he's just got a little vacation. Jey Uso will be back. He's not gone. You don't take your biggest... Listen, I know the Endeavor deal is a month away from being finalized, but everybody needs to remember something. The TV deals have not. The last thing... And anybody online that wants to clickbait you about Bloodline being on hiatus for the foreseeable future, just tell them this. We're this close to 2024. No TV deals have been finalized yet for Raw or SmackDown. Do you think with all of the record revenue, with all of the boost in ratings, all of the Bloodline killing it in the quarters, do you think... as you get deeper and deeper and deeper in TV negotiations, and you got to run the risk that, hey, you know, SmackDown is down 28%. SmackDown is down 30%. Wow, no Roman Reigns and no Jey Uso. Look how the ratings are starting to plummet. Then everybody thinks, like, without the Bloodline, SmackDown's not is the B show once again. They're not going to do that. A week, 2 weeks to milk the story? Because Cody... look at what we said about with Cody Rhodes. Cody Rhodes, for the foreseeable future, is now going to be inundated with the Judgment Day. So we got to get to November. There's no way WWE is going to jeopardize a long trend of ratings decline because Jey and Roman are not on TV. This is temporary. Jey Uso has been working his... MFS off. They're giving him a little bit of a break, a little breather, a little respite. And that's rightfully so. So the women, I don't know where it goes from here. But I didn't like what I saw yesterday. It just left me asking, why no Asuka? Why Shotzi 2 weeks in a row? Is she barred in Canada? Is this something that we don't know? I don't know. But that was the match yesterday, and we'll see where it goes from here. Something else, and you know what? Very interesting. The IWC didn't have their balls in a bunch yesterday that LA Knight lost. Because the story, I think, you know what I think it is? I think people realize now LA Knight is on the next level. So if he loses... it's not a demotion. It's not a de-push. It's not to fuck with the fans. It's not to fuck with LA Knight. It's to further a storyline. Yesterday, SmackDown opened up with the Grayson Waller effect. Whether you love him or you hate him, Grayson Waller is acclimating to the main roster better than most in recent years. Better than most. Very, very comfortable. Yesterday has Rey Mysterio on. Yesterday has Santos Escobar on. He tries to plant a little bit of friction between Santos and Rey. Oh, Rey, Hall of Famer. You know, that's what these guys do, steal opportunities. And, you know, Santos Escobar is, sees what Grayson Waller is trying to do. But Santos has still got a majorly fucked up leg, cannot compete. Santos Escobar versus Austin Theory is going to happen again, but not right this minute. And Grayson Waller being a little bit of an asshole to Rey Mysterio. And we thought last night that, hey, are we going to get Rey Mysterio versus Grayson Waller? I don't think it should be for the title, obviously, because Austin Theory should get a rematch. Santos Escobar should get a title match since he didn't get his opportunity. So down the line, will we end up with the three-way at Payback? Santos has to be magically better by next week. But as of right now, we may end up getting the rematch. Austin Theory versus Rey Mysterio. Hasn't been announced for Payback, but then maybe Santos costs Austin Theory the match, and there's your Payback. Because Payback, that's more of just than just a premium live event name. That's a theme. There's going to be a lot of Payback to be given. At Payback. So Grayson Waller's fucking with both guys. Austin Theory's music hits. Austin Theory comes out there and he does exactly what we expected him to do. I was not prepared for Rey Mysterio, that you don't treat a champion like this and blah, 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 blah. And he, you know, wants his rematch and he should have. And LA Knight's music hits. Bastard. Because we knew it immediately. How many weeks, maybe six, that we thought it was going to be LA Knight versus Austin Theory for the United States Championship. A lot of us thought it was going to be LA Knight versus Austin Theory. They did that tournament. Santos Escobar ended up, was supposed to win it, and then obviously, Rey Mysterio ended up taking Santos's spot. But everybody thought LA Knight was going to win that tournament, take on Austin Theory, beat him for the belt, LA Knight champion. Now you got to say to yourself, when is LA Knight... Listen, when Steve Austin won the WWF Heavyweight Championship at WrestleMania, you know, it took a long time. Because some people, when it was WrestleMania against Bret Hart, 13? No, was it 13? Yeah, I think it was 13 against Bret Hart. Wow, it's been that many years. Holy shit. Anyway, when he took on Bret Hart, you know, people thought at that time, you know, he's going to get that belt soon. Didn't happen until a year later. So, yes, he won smaller championships. Won it with Dude Love. Won, you know, he won other titles. But with LA Knight, you almost feel like, when is this guy going to get his first WWE championship? His first WWE championship is going to feel monumental. But he comes out yesterday, and it doesn't feel like they're going him versus Rey Mysterio. Of course, LA Knight, you know, I don't give a damn who the champion is. You're looking at your next United States champion. So Austin Theory begs to differ. And then next thing we know, we have a match. Austin Theory versus LA Knight. On SmackDown, the winner gets an opportunity at Rey Mysterio's United States Championship. Enter The Miz. Soon as The Miz comes out there, you know, everybody called it on a watch party last night, Miz was going to cost LA Knight the win. Then LA Knight's going to probably show up on Raw. Maybe Miz gets a shot at Seth Rollins' championship on Raw. Miz is going to get some type of an opportunity. Ain't going to be against Gunther, obviously. But LA Knight's going to screw The Miz, and then it'll probably be payback. LA Knight versus Miz, payback, that's where the match is going. So what happens yesterday? Miz is sitting at ringside. Miz is rooting for Theory, talking about the young generation. And at one point, LA Knight throws Austin Theory into The Miz. Miz goes flying, but later on in the match, LA Knight had a little cut above his head, nothing serious. Watching the referee scrambling for gloves was pretty funny. Like, I've seen more blood when somebody cuts themselves shaving. And he fucking scrambled for gloves. I'm like, it's a tiny little cut. It's nothing. I can't get blood on me. So that's probably a WWE thing. Not necessarily the ref getting paranoid. But sure enough, Miz gets involved, distracts LA Knight. Here's Austin Theory. Finisher win. And I tell you again, IWC was not livid last night about LA Knight losing, because they see the bigger picture. It's going to be LA Knight versus Miz. Miz will obviously take the fall and lose to LA Knight, and that'll help legitimize LA Knight a little bit further. And we'll see where it goes from here. By the way, didn't have anything to do on SmackDown yesterday, but only because they've had some interaction with him and the Miz recently. Tommaso Ciampa. Obviously, the last month on Raw has not been very good for Tommaso Ciampa. He cut that passionate promo when he made his return, which was awesome, but since then it's kind of like fizzled into a wet fart. Well, I talked a couple of weeks ago about DIY reforming, and the seed has finally been planted to start that. For those that are interested, Tommaso Ciampa, who for some reason doesn't know how to center text all that much, if you know where, if you do artwork, you know why I'm saying that. he posted this satirical missing poster online. Missing Johnny Gargano. Reward is dollar bucks. If you've seen, contact him. Contact Tommaso Ciampa. If you've seen Johnny Gargano, contact Tommaso Ciampa. So DIY will be forming again soon. Soon. The only problem is the Street Profits getting elevated. I don't know what's going to happen with Imperium because Giovanni Vinci is on his way out. Some people want to see Finn Balor and Damian Priest become tag champs. You know, even though Damian Priest is a briefcase, he doesn't have a title. That's not a bad idea. But then again, after Monday's Raw with that bad cartoon, him sliding a briefcase underneath the ropes, you know, it was what it was. But so we had that match yesterday, and Austin Theory gets the win. So next week now, we are getting non-title Rey Mysterio versus Grayson Waller. And I think that match is going to be really, really good. It's non-title, so I don't think Grayson Waller will get the win, but still, nice little match for next week. So that pretty much was your episode of SmackDown yesterday. Lot of vignettes for Edge, and deservingly so. 25-year anniversary of Edge. If you go on WWE Shop, they got some pretty cool merchandise on there. You might want to consider picking up. But we have not seen the last of Edge in WWE. We have not. Do not worry. All right. Before we get into Cash Wheeler and maybe LeFisto, that'll be up to everybody live. Maybe you don't want to talk about LeFisto. You know, people, I think, talk about it not because they like or hate her, just because it's drama. But WWE on Friday put tickets on sale for WrestleMania 40. They've already sold 90,000 tickets. Interesting thing about it is I almost feel like they were waiting for that 90,000 number because it is just a little bit more than AEW All In. I'm not going to play that game. Awesome for AEW to get their money. WWE, I don't know. I don't remember how much revenue they touted yesterday, but it's obviously even more than AEW All In. I just look at it like this. And I've said this years and years and years. If you could sell your tickets, I don't care if you sell it to 80,000 scalpers. If you sell your tickets, that means someone out there thinks that your product is good enough that people will want to see it. Concerts. You could sell all your tickets out to scalpers. You got your money. Sometimes scalpers, you know, we were joking last week about this. The Alka-Seltzer cold. And no, I'm not going to drink this one from 1997. But you go on eBay right now, Alka-Seltzer Nighttime, people are selling it for as much as $65 a box. Why? Because there's so much demand for it since it's not available, some idiots will pay $30, $40, $50 for one box. I got to have it. So with these tickets, if AEW tickets were not in demand in the idea of some people, they wouldn't buy it. And then what happens is, you know what's going to happen to these people that have Alka-Seltzer Nighttime on eBay for $65? In about a month, within a month, Alka-Seltzer Nighttime will be back on store shelves. And all of those Alka-Seltzers that they paid a little bit extra for, thinking they were going to double, triple their money, they're going to get stuck with. You know what's going to happen? They're going to have to put them on sale for the same price as Walmart or anyone else sells, because they're going to realize they're not in demand anymore. So when people try to say to me, oh, DT, Dynamite is selling tickets for $5. Oh, you could go to a house show right now for $2. Oh, Rampage, $2. Yeah, that's because people bought the tickets and put it up for a crazy price, thinking they were going to break the bank and make some extra money, and people didn't buy it. So now they're stuck with it, and they're like, you know what? Let me at least get a coffee out of it. You know, and like I said, I don't mean to be morbid, But the only way those tickets that get stuck on Ticketmaster that people don't go, the only way they're worth money is if somebody dies or something tragic happens in an event or something unfucking believable. So when you get even 10,000 scalpers buying AEW All-In tickets, if they put their tickets on sale for $5,000 and nobody buys it, and then they realize, oh, fuck, the event's in 2 days. I didn't sell it. And they put it on sale for $50 or $100 instead of $5,000. They just want to get something out of it, then get stuck with it. So at the end of the day, AEW's got their money already. WWE's got their money already. Even if you see lots of empty seats, remember, people paid for those seats. So that's the bottom line. They got their money. Props to AEW. Props to WWE. So, let's get into Cash Wheeler in a moment. Yesterday's Rampage kind of feels like they packed it in a little bit, right? Knowing the ratings aren't going to do all that well. The Aussie Obsession, Aussie Open versus Ethan Page, brother Zay. Aussie Open retains the Ring of Honor tag titles. Rey Fénix over Commander. Hikaru Shida and Sky Blue over Tony Storm and Ruby Soho. And Sammy Guevara beat, I think his name is John Cruz. Collision. Interesting. I don't want to say it feels like they realize now that Collision is not going to draw spectacular numbers. They have advertised for tonight's Collision, Darby Allin versus Christian Cage. No championship on the line, obviously, but okay, you know, not a bad match. We're also going to get Willow Nightingale versus Diamante, and nothing against Diamante, but I think we pretty much know where this is going. I don't know how you all feel. Chat room, what's your honest take on Dalton Castle? Do you like the guy? He's taking on Jay White. And I know this is probably going to be a Ring of Honor orgasm match, but I look at this guy, I can't get into him. There's like nothing about him that I like, and his entrance that looks like, I don't know. I don't even want to say it because I'll get my mouth in trouble, but that I don't know. I can't get into Dalton Castle. He's entertaining to an extent, I agree, but put it this way. Am I going to stop my Saturday night to see that match? No. Maybe on social media afterwards, but that match is going down. And then, and this is going to segue into Cash Wheeler. And then also, Ricky Starks will talk. Oh, that's nice. Ricky Starks will talk. Oh, look, Powerhouse Hobbs is going to have a squash match. Whenever they put in action, obviously it's not going to be anybody of importance. The Nedima will talk. And he wasn't even worthy for a graphic this week. No CM Punk mention for this week. And FTR will talk. And you know what FTR is going to say? Young Bucks, we'll see you on Dynamite Wednesday because they're going to have a confrontation on Wednesday. So they're going to talk, and I guarantee all they're going to say is they're going to hype up Wednesday. So now we get into Cash Wheeler. All right. Cash Wheeler, that is his mugshot, arrested, and rather than me give you a synopsis, an interpretation, a clicking paste news article, I'm going to give you the actual court document, the actual statement from the police officer, what actually went down. Yesterday during the watch party, I got a DM from somebody in Florida that told me that there is some cell phone footage of what Cash Wheeler did. Now, I got this police report last night, and it does mention that the other party took a picture of Cash Wheeler. But from what I was told, somebody shot video of what Cash Wheeler did. So now, I'm going to read you the police report. It's not a big statement, but it's very interesting. I'm going to tell you what I believe the charge should be. I'll give you my overall thoughts on what Cash Wheeler did. I'll address MJF really maybe over the top defending Cash Wheeler in this. And then if you want, LeFisto decided to take MJF's support of Cash in this incident and make it about her. So, and I got the video of the arraignment because this happened the end of July, everybody. This happened at the end of July. There was a warrant out for Cash Wheeler's arrest. Now, I'm going to read you the report, but I will say this one thing. A complaint was filed by another party, and the police investigated it. Once the police saw the footage and got more information, they put out a warrant for Cash Wheeler's arrest. Cash Wheeler turned himself in, I believe, yesterday or the day before. So understand, this happened the end of July. He was in court yesterday. So there was some investigation going on that led to what happened. They put a warrant out for his arrest, and then he got a lawyer and agreed to turn himself in. So let me just share with you the report. Do you want to see the video first? I'll let you see the video first. It's only 2 minutes long, but this is his not guilty plea. And then I'll show you the report. For those on video, you'll be able to see it on your screen. For those on audio, I'll read it. So here is the arraignment and the plea of Cash Wheeler, and then I'll read you the report. This is straight from the court.
Judge, thank you so much for your help. Standing to my right is Mr. Wheeler, Daniel Wheeler. He turned himself in late last night on a warrant by the Orlando Police Department. The charge was aggravated assault with a firearm. It's a third-degree felony. We are requesting that the court set bond in the amount of $2,500 with no contact.
Okay, I want to stop that for 1 second. $2,500 bond costs $250. Remember, we've talked about this many times before. There's a big difference between bail and with bond. With bail, whatever the amount is set, you got to come up with that. With bond, you only have to put up 10% of whatever the bond is. So Cash Wheeler got out of jail with $250 spent. Obviously, he has to have property and collateral to equal $2,500. But when you hear $2,500, understand he only has to come up with $250 plus whatever the, you know, the fee is for the bondsman. Because I actually do supply bonds for a living. Especially in my neighborhood, Howard Beach. Trust me, there's still some cardboard gangsters that sometimes get in trouble. Like, hey, yo, Anthony, I need a bond. Can you get me a $10,000 bond?
With the alleged victims in the affidavit and no possession of weapons. My client is 36 years old. He's a U.S. citizen. Has no prior record to my knowledge. He owns a home in Maitland. And so those are the reasons.
Give me just a second. I didn't get to see this affidavit. Let me take a look at it. It doesn't appear.
No, Your Honor. I don't think he, I haven't seen the affidavit, but my understanding is he does not know who these people right. are.
Well, State, did you want to be heard on bond or conditions?
No, Your Honor. Mr. Wheeler appears to have no other criminal history. It does appear to be a road rage type incident. Mm-hmm. He allegedly flashed a handgun at the alleged victim. But given that he has no prior history and does not know the victim, the conditions that defense has laid out, so he has no objection to.
All right. Thank you. All right. Well, that sounds reasonable, $2,500 for the bond. In addition to that, sir, you're going to be ordered to have no contact with the victim or any other witnesses involved in the case. You're also going to be ordered to have no weapons on or about your person. Now, that means that any weapons that you own that aren't in the custody of law enforcement at this point are going to have to be turned in to the sheriff's department pending the outcome in this case, and that's to be done within 12 hours of your release. All right,
sir.
Now, anything else, State?
No, Your Honor.
Mr. Ferry?
No, Your Honor. Thank you so much for your accommodations.
Not a problem, and good to see you.
Thank you, sir. Good to see you. Take care.
Just so you know, little tidbit that I got from somebody in Florida that you didn't read online. Cash, they actually did an emergency hearing because he would have had to remain in prison over the weekend, which means appearing on Collision would not have been possible. Little important tidbit that you're not going to read anywhere because everybody just cuts and pastes everyone. See, no wrestling website broke this story yesterday. It popped up on the Florida court website. Then people read it, and then they posted it online. So whoever was the first to pick it up, that's how they got it. But that's why early on you couldn't really take for face value what was being said because nobody bothered to do the research. So now I'm going to show you the police report and the statement. And as I read it, you know, just think in your mind, picture the scenario, and then we'll discuss the charge. Remember, as of right now, aggravated assault with a firearm, that is a third degree felony. I think that's a little extreme. He pled not guilty. I'm going to read you the report, and then I'll tell you the charge he should end up agreeing to, and then you tell me if you agree or not. So if you look on your screen, you could read it with me. And for those out there that have audio, I will read it to you. Now, if you see my logo for the Don Tony Show there, I only did that to block out his home address and his social security. No one needs to know Cash Wheeler's personal information. You know, we know how tall he is. We know he's got brown hair. We know he's a guy. And we know his birthday because it's on Wikipedia. I blocked out all the other stuff. So that is the warrant that was filed for his arrest. So now we go a little bit further. Here we go. This is from the police officer, my friends. On July 27th, 2023, Officer Bowie responded to 5300 South Orange Blossom Trail in reference to an aggravated assault with a firearm call. Upon my arrival, I spoke to the victim, Daniel Mata, who provided me with a sworn, written, verbal statement that said the following. Now, guys, before I go any further, if Mata would not have pressed charges, the police would not have taken this any further. I know what some people are going to say. Well, if he furnished a firearm, cops should still go after him. No, that's the reason why. Remember, this happened July 27th. The warrant, remember to look at the top. The warrant was filed July 28th. That was a day after because they did some investigating. They saw the footage. Then they issued the warrant for Wheeler's arrest, and it took Wheeler 2 weeks to turn himself in and then have that emergency meeting so he could bail out on $2,500 bond and he doesn't miss Collision. All right. So, continuing further. Daniel Mata stated that he was driving west on Interstate 4 north of Exit 83. He noticed a Jeep Gladiator weaving in and out of traffic, honking its horn, so he moved over to the far right lane to let the Jeep pass. Mata said the Jeep took the right shoulder to drive around him on the passenger side of his vehicle. Mata looked over and noticed a white male with a beard pointing a black semi-automatic handgun out of the driver's window at him with a strong stare. Mata said that he feared for his life at this time. He slowed down to get out of the way of the firearm and ended up behind the suspect's vehicle at this time. At this time, both were committed to exit 83. They were forced to get off the exit, Ivanhoe Boulevard. Mata took pictures of the Jeep as it turned right onto College Park Drive and began to drive reckless. Mata said the Jeep bared the Florida license plate, blah, blah, blah. After taking the picture, Mata said he called 911 and gave the vehicle information to dispatch the details of what occurred. He explained that he could not be late for work and asked for an officer to meet him at his employment. I created a photo lineup using Elvis. That is a program that they use. The program selected five random photos based on the driver's license picture. Now, my friends, let's stop there for a second. What Elvis does, for anybody that's curious, is they ran the plate. They found that the plate was registered to Cash Wheeler. They see his license. So what they do is they take the picture of his driver's license and they run it through this program called Elvis. Thank you very much. And it comes up with five faces or four faces very similar to Cash Wheeler. Guys with beards around his age that look similar. You know, it's just you see online, like you put your face in a program and it'll show you who you look like. So that's what Elvis does. All right. One other thing I should point out on there. Why would this MATA guy? Well, actually, you know what? Let's read the rest and then I'll get into those aspects of it. So just continuing the statement. I created a photo lineup using Elvis and selected five random photos based on the suspect's Florida driver's license picture and put them through a randomized order with the suspect being the sixth picture. Officer Blinn met with Mata and presented him with the photo lineup instructions and the photo lineup. Mata quickly selected the correct picture, photo number two, of the suspect, later identified as Daniel M. Wheeler, with 100% certainty. There's a supplemental report, everyone, that is not available yet. It'll be available on Monday. Based on Mata's sworn statement and the positive photo lineup identification, probable cause exists to charge Wheeler with aggravated assault with a firearm, violation of Florida statute number 784.02, section 1, subsection A, I believe it is. And that was done on July 27th. Now, if you're thinking what I'm thinking, look at this sentence here. He was driving on Interstate 4 and noticed a Gladiator weaving in and out of traffic, honking his horn. He moved to the far right to let the Jeep pass, and as the Jeep passed, instead of passing him on the left, he went along the shoulder, and as he passed this guy Mata's car, he showed his whatever, you know, firearm he had, his rifle. Close your eyes for a second and think about this. You're driving on the highway. You're minding your own business. And the guy is in a Gladiator honking his horn. And you move to the right to let him go. And while he's going by, he just looks at you like this. And he's got a firearm pointed at you. You're thinking what I'm thinking. And maybe exit 82, 81 before that, these two cars might have been having a little bit of an incident. Maybe this MATA guy cut off Cash Wheeler. And Cash Wheeler was trying to catch up to him. When he passed him up, he showed them a rifle and said, "Don't fuck with me." And this is just speculation, but that kind of sounds like what may have happened here. Does Cash Wheeler sound like a guy that, "Hey, thanks for letting me pass by. I'm going to blow your brains out if you look at me the wrong way." You know, seriously, I just, something's missing here. Here's the problem, though. Here's the problem. I could drive on the highway and drive past your car and say, "Oh my God, your wife looks like a fucking dog. Oh, you fucked that? What the fuck? I hope you die." You could say the most horrendous stuff. I can't take my gun out and point it at you as I'm driving by. You can't do that. That is a crime. When you get a gun license, a permit, and you are allowed to conceal carry, you have to go to a safety class. You got to go to courses. They tell you what you're allowed to do and you're not allowed to do. I don't have a gun, guys. I don't possess a rifle, but I got my cock. So I can't drive by because you cut me off. And as I'm driving by, I'm like, don't even fucking think about it. Don't even fuck. Because just picture Cash. He's probably cruising, doing linguine lean, and he's got his rifle like this. So the guy looks over, and he's it's like the guy with the beady eyes from Caddyshack. That guy Mata probably drove by, looked at Cash wheel his car. First of all, if you're letting someone go, why are you having this big stare down with the guy next to you? You just let him go. He probably just looked like, oh fuck, he's got a rifle, and he slammed on the brakes, and then they started following each other. There's a road rage incident. Listen, my friends, I'm not giving you a lecture, but I'm going to say something right now that every single one of you is going to remember. How many times in the past have I always said to you guys, I've been in insurance since 1998, and there's a lot of reasons why I say what I'm about to say. Cash Wheeler, if he happens to see this, any of you out there, anybody, famous, not famous, get a fucking dash cam. Get a dash cam. Dash cam will not only straighten your ass out because your antics will be recorded, but it also documents everybody else. If Cash Wheeler had a dash cam and the dash cam caught this guy cutting him off or fucking with Cash Wheeler, then you plead your ass not guilty. You furnish that. The only thing is, Cash Wheeler couldn't press any charges against this guy. Because did he commit any crimes? Did he accidentally cut off Cash Wheeler? We don't know. But get a dash cam. That solves most of your problems. If you got a dash cam and somebody's road raging you, you got it on video. And this, I'm curious if either one had a dash cam. Now, another thing. Aggravated assault with a firearm. Class 3 felony, third degree. That sounds awfully excessive. There is a charge in Florida. It is called improper exhibition of a firearm or a weapon. Improperly exhibiting a firearm. That is a class first degree misdemeanor. And yes, you could get a year in jail and you could get $1,000 fine. But I personally think, I mean, again, somebody told me there's video. So if there's video, I personally don't think there's video of Cash with the rifle. And the reason why is because if this guy moved to the right and Cash went around him, I don't know if this guy would have been smart enough to be with his phone, like watching everything that Cash Wheeler was doing. I guarantee you that guy probably did not know that Cash Wheeler had a gun, a rifle, until he drove past him. Once he drove past him, give me my phone, give me my phone. You put yourself in that situation. You know, I don't know if they got that on video. But if there's some type of video proof, I think Cash Wheeler should try to chop this down to the improper exhibition of a firearm, proper showing of a firearm. You're not allowed to take it out. If you're fearing for, and listen, you got to remember something too, the stand your ground laws. I mean, that's more like your house, you're protecting your property. But still, I mean, how many times over the years have you heard about stand your ground in Florida, and then I got into a fight and I was fearing for my life, so I shot the motherfucker. And you weren't fearing for your life. You were just getting your ass kicked. You get beat up. You suck it up. Maybe you go to the gym and learn how to fight a little bit better, and you defend yourself. You can't just whip out a gun and say, oh, man, you busted my lip. Psh, can't do that. You can't take it out unless you're fearing for your life, if it's a life-threatening situation. So that is the deal with Cash Wheeler. To be continued, obviously, but there's more to this story than just, oh, I let him pass, and he whipped out a gun, and I feared for my life, and then he followed me, so I took a picture of his plate, and I'm clearly the victim here. I think they probably both got into a road rage with each other, Cash Wheeler's like, go cut me off now, asshole. And then the guy's like, oh, yeah, I'll do one better. I'll get your ass arrested. That's what I think happened here. I don't think both sides are innocent. But Cash Wheeler made a big mistake taking that gun out. Intimidating or not, taking it out was a mistake. Okay. So, you know what? We have a couple of minutes still. Let's share what MJF had to say about this and what LeFisto had to say to MJF. Oh, boy. Taylor Swenson is asking me, since we're talking about Cash Wheeler, will Edge and Christian reunite in WWE or AEW? They will reunite in WWE down the line. Edge is not going to AEW. He is not looking for a better deal to wrestle still. This is not a Jeff Hardy, Matt Hardy, Samoa Joe, or another situation. So, all right. Let's get into MJF. MJF went on Twitter because early yesterday, to get that ad revenue on Twitter, they're matching at All In is in jeopardy. You know, understand this. I will say this. They did not take away his passport. They didn't take away his passport. This doesn't warrant taking away a passport. He's not a flight risk. But some countries, if you have a pending charge against you, some countries will not let you in. But in the case of Wembley, this does not put his match in jeopardy. I want to make that clear. But early on, that's what people were doing. People that don't like FTR, because of their friendship with CM Punk, dramatizing this and making it. Some people early on said that he got into a bar fight. Some people said he beat up his wife. Some people were writing shit, not knowing any of the facts. They saw aggravated assault. They thought he hit somebody with a gun. So, MJF, as the truth started coming out yesterday, MJF posts this. Kind of disappointed how many dorks there are on this app that jumped to conclusion so quick. Ton of people's privilege is showing. We're all human. We're all flawed. We all make mistakes. Take it from a guy who's made more mistakes than most. I've had my ups and downs with FTR, but Cash Wheeler is a great dude and a badass. You're getting FTR versus the Young Bucks in front of 80,000 plus on August 22nd. Talk about that, you dweebs. Well, I agree with most of what MJF says here, but showing a rifle, that's not, oh, we're all flawed, we make mistakes. Because guess what? Guess what? What if Daniel Mata was a former felon? What if Daniel Mata's from a gang? What if Daniel Mata decides, oh, you want to take out your rifle? And he fucking shoots Cash Wheeler in the head. You can't show your gun. Period. MJF was right on all the bullshit that happened early. But to downplay what Cash Wheeler did, you know, it sounds good what he said. But, you know, we're not talking about, you know, I had a beer too many and I got arrested. You know, you fucking whipped out your firearm. And that's one, that's like at the top of the list when you apply for a cash carry, Cash Wheeler, for a carry and conceal. They tell you, you can only take it out for this, 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 and this. You can't take it out to like stop an argument. What was that movie? Was it The Naked Gun? What was it? When everybody was talking and they were threatening a fighting and then somebody took a gun out and they were like, oh, yeah, yeah, no, everything's cool, everything's cool. All right, well, anyway, LeFisto saw what MJF said about Cash Wheeler and decided to write a response. All right. Here comes drama, everyone. Drama alert, and then we're going to get out of here. This is the last part, so if you're not interested in what LeFisto had to say, or what I had to say about LeFisto, then you could disconnect now. But don't forget, we have to sit down tomorrow. All right. Lefisto writes, "Dear Mr. Friedman, 2 weeks ago, I was very disappointed by how many people were jumping to conclusions so quick. Yes, we're all human. Yes, we're all flawed. And yes, we all make mistakes. I have my share. I wasn't blessed with much luck or what you call people's privilege, but I did my best, learning through trials and errors, falling down and getting back up to try again and again and again. I knew I would be criticized for sharing my personal story about what happened the day I walked into the AEW women's locker room. However, I never expected that tweets from you and your colleagues would lead to harassment and death threats, messages that are still going on to this day. It's true. I didn't make it to the big leagues. You don't have to remind me. I know it. It doesn't mean I deserve to be called miserable. It doesn't mean I'm not good enough. It doesn't mean I'm difficult to work with. It doesn't mean I'm delusional. You can call me many things, but what I am not is a liar. If anything, my big mouth and need to call out things the way they are have been my undoing in an industry where silence is expected to keep your job or get one. Quote, if someone's been into professional wrestling for over a decade and you find them to be talented, but they've never truly panned out, there's a reason for it. My intergender matches were bad for TV. My hardcore matches were too violent and didn't present a good image to a woman of a woman. I was too thick for the cookie sheet model types they were looking for. When I felt something was wrong, I would speak, argue, therefore I was labeled as a problem. When you are the only girl on the roster, it's a curse. Today, everything I described is praised. No, I am not crazy, but yes, I have struggles. To look strong, unbreakable, and to show that nothing was affecting me, I kept everything to myself as it was being beat and abused mentally, as I was being beaten and abused mentally and physically for years in wrestling and at home. It made me an introvert with chronic depression who can't trust anybody. I go to a show, wrestle, and leave right after. I don't mingle. I don't have very close friends. I have panic attacks, and if I'm doing the main event, I'm in fear of not being good enough, and because my brain goes 1,000 miles an hour due to my severe ADHD. I'm definitely not looking for attention. I just love wrestling so much that I still push through, still after 26 years, but all that you wouldn't know. We never actually sat down and talked. I know why I didn't go anywhere. And today, well, I'm too old. It's not about being brave or not. I'm brutally honest and stubbornly refuse to abandon my principles, even if it leads to my downfall. It's just the way I am. And guess what? People of this industry still don't like people like me nowadays. Why would they let in the bitter old broad who doesn't understand shit? I have my ups and downs with many of you, but you know what? I'm a fucking good person who dedicated her entire life to wrestling. Even if it never loved me back as much as I did, I always do my best to give my opponents a good experience and a match they can be proud of. I'm definitely not trying to hurt hardworking, talented people on my way down to obscurity. Your words encourage your fans to tell me I'm a nobody that wasted 26 years of her life, that I should disappear or jump off a bridge. You and I met maybe two or three times. There was never more than, hello, nice to see you, how are you? Yet you felt the need to belittle me as much as you could to cover up for the attitude of your colleagues as if I was absolutely worthless, nothing. And for what? Because of all the harassment and threats I received following your messages, I made the decision to stay home last weekend, not wanting to be a burden on my first day of Blitzkrieg Pro or at Beyond Wrestling, who's been so good to me. With your million-something-dollar contract, you probably don't care if you miss a day or two of work. Life will probably go on for you and your friend, and it will be as cool as hell to see FTR versus the Young Bucks in front of 80,000 fans. However, for this indie lifer, even if I do have a good shoot job, losing bookings can be the difference between being able to live comfortably enough and scratching the bottom of my pockets to pay the mortgage. Words have consequences. Judging someone without knowing their story has consequences. The support you showed your friend Cash is admirable. You know him, so you might know why. I work for a detention facility, so I'm aware that such actions are way too complicated to comprehend quickly. There are many factors to take into consideration before judging the human involved in a situation. I really wish you would have had the same grace and common courtesy towards me, especially since you and I don't even know each other. Maybe the next time it happens to someone else, you will. Or not. Sorry, not sorry. Jen Goulet, a.k.a. LaFisto. My honest thoughts on that? Should have wrote that maybe the day after all this shit was going down with all the women and MJF saying all the stuff they did. MJF defending Cash, you know, he's a good dude and everything, that's fine. But, you know, pretty, I don't know. I feel bad for her. I feel bad for her. But you want to know something? She's been around 26 years. She knows what goes on in the locker room. She knows how cutthroat it could be. She knows, and we've talked about it. Remember when CM Punk had the incident with the Young Bucks and the Elite after the media scrum? If you remember after that, you saw elements of the media and wrestlers that despise CM Punk, that were trying to convince the entire AEW community that everybody in AEW thinks that CM Punk is a cancer to the locker room. But there are others that were very supportive of what CM Punk said at the media scrum. Because CM Punk at that time was truly the voice of the voiceless. There are a lot of people within AEW that are treated like shit. Not necessarily what you believe is treated like shit. I'm not saying that somebody like, oh, pick that up. No, you're worthless. No, I don't mean that. It's people feel like, wow, I get no opportunity. I'm wasted. I don't get this. I don't get that. Man, I get jumped over. Or because I support this person, I'm ignored. I'm sent home. I don't get the match. I don't do this. To them, they're being treated like garbage. But they get paid. So they're put in a situation where they don't have any power. They have to keep quiet. That's why, if you remember the stuff that happened with Thunder Rosa, any allegation that three of her female friends were sent home, I think it was Sean Dean or somebody that stepped up and cleared up that nonsense. It wasn't true. But there are people within that company that are this low on the food chain that can't open their mouth up. They can't turn around and say, you know, look, I'm being bullied, or I'm not being used, or I'm not being respected, or I'm treated like garbage, or I'm being ignored. Even if they're not being treated like garbage. In this day and age, some people, simply because they don't get their way, they think they're being shunned. Or that's why Karens came around. You know, think of why Karens and the privilege came around. So, but there are some people within that company that are forced to keep silent because they're not in any position to speak up. If they speak up, they're out of a job. You remember the Big Swall and all the other stuff. I mean, you know, we're not going to go there. But the point is, she knows what goes on in wrestling. This should not be a surprise. She's not going to change MJF. She's not going to change any locker room. She's not going to change AEW, the WWE, any indie wrestling locker room. She knows what it is. So, personally, you know, I feel bad for her, but that should have been written the day or the day after all this shit was going down. And you confront those people head on. Why are you having this mob? You don't even know me. Why are you doing this? Why are you doing that? You wait until everybody, you know, puts a landslide of shit on her. And now, because MJF supports his friend, she writes this now, I think, a little bit too late, to be honest with you. Feel bad for her, but she's not going to win this argument. That's the point. You know, it's unfortunate, but she's not going to win this argument. So I feel bad for her, but, you know, it is what it is. If this profession is that abusive, find another job. Find another job. You know, losing bookings, or this, if it doesn't make you happy, go find another job. Do something else. Do something that makes you happy. That's why, like in any profession, if you are stuck in a job and you are completely miserable and you're not being treated the way you feel you should, why are you in that job? You know, gradually in your nights, learn another profession, do an online college thing, get out of that profession. Nobody forces anybody to stay in wrestling. It doesn't make it better. But if I work in a job and everybody's treated like shit, I'm out of there. All right, guys, I'm out of here too. I hope you can join me Sunday night. We will be doing a sit down, obviously. And remember, what I might do is, you know, because remember, we were going to pick out a little shower gift for Matt Riddle and Misha Montana. They're going to have a kid in the next couple of months. I might just show screenshots of some of the items and you choose. Or maybe I'll come up with some examples and you help me pick. So we're going to get the family's going to get them a little something. So we'll probably spend a couple of moments tomorrow with that too. But remember, to sit down is basically I show up with nothing and everybody who's live dictate what we talk about. So, my friends, it is 1:49 p.m. here on Saturday. I want to enjoy the rest of my Saturday with my significant other, and I hope you enjoy the rest of your weekend. And I will be back here for the Don Tony Show next Saturday. But remember, September 1st to September 9th, I will be on vacation. So I will be back after that on Sunday night, September 10th. So we will do a sit down on that episode. But everyone, you're welcome to leave any comments in the comment section, reactions to what we talked about, any specific things you want to add on to, welcomed. I hope you all have a nice weekend. Be well. Take care.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who claim they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.